From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, May 10th. I'm Abby Larico. It's graduation weekend at colleges and universities around the St. Louis area. For many in the class of 2024, this commencement ceremony will be a first. That's because they're also the class of 2020, who graduated high school in the early days of the pandemic.
It's like everything finally worked out. Like, we kind of had this rough go with COVID, and like, we finally got what we deserve.
I spoke with two St. Louis area students graduating this weekend about how the legacy of the class of 2024 is one of revamped traditions and resilience. That's coming up on The Gateway. Missouri Governor Mike Parson signed legislation that would bar state funds from going to providers like Planned Parenthood. The bill Parson signed yesterday would bar Medicaid reimbursements from going to any abortion facility or affiliate of an abortion facility. That would effectively bar any state money from going to Planned Parenthood.
Most of us that are in this room, that I believe so much in pro-life, that we're going to protect that at all costs.
In a statement, the state's two Planned Parenthood groups said that the bill obstructs access to, quote, much-needed health services, including birth control, cancer screenings, and annual wellness exams. The statement also contends the bill, which takes effect August 28th, violates federal Medicaid law and may not hold up in court. The Missouri Senate passed its version of the state budget Thursday. The legislature has until 6 p.m. today to pass the budget for the upcoming fiscal year. It still must pass the House. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, the time constraints have broken precedent on how the budget is normally passed.
With the bill still in the Senate one day before the deadline, that has left no time for potential conference committees where the Senate and House collaborate on a final product. Instead, this session, the Senate and House have worked on the budget behind closed doors to reach compromises that the House could take up and pass. Senator Bill Eigel blamed the delay in passing the budget on the Senate's effort to pass a tax on hospitals that funds Medicaid last week instead of trying to pass the budget.
Because you were so interested in passing the FRA last week, willing to push a record-setting filibuster on the floor, the whole week was burned up, and as a result of that, we didn't have enough time to do conference committees this week.
If the legislature doesn't pass a budget by the deadline, they will likely consider it in the special session. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri Senate has passed the tax that funds roughly a third of the state's Medicaid system. The Senate voted 31-2 yesterday to pass the federal reimbursement allowance. It is a tax on healthcare providers like hospitals, pharmacies, and ambulance districts that funds a bulk of Missouri's Medicaid program. The tax was set to expire at the end of September. The new reauthorization goes through September of 2029. Members of the Freedom Caucus filibustered the reimbursement last week, calling for the Senate to pass an amendment that would make it harder to change the Constitution and for Governor Mike Parson to sign into law a bill that bars state dollars from going to abortion providers or their affiliates. While that filibuster ended without either of those demands met initially, Parson signed the funding bill Thursday, and the amendment is set to be debated Monday afternoon. The federal reimbursement allowance now heads to the Missouri House. St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones and Treasurer Adam Lane spent time this week hearing from families who are participating in the city's Guaranteed Basic Income program. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has more on what families told them they need.
The 540 families in the program get $500 a month to spend however they like. Participants in the roundtable say they use the cash for rent, groceries, and rebuilding savings. All were grateful for the safety net, but they also expressed a need for things like safe transportation for children, more resources for small business, and financial literacy classes. Lane says there are a lot of resources in the city that people may not know about.
We're working on trying to get like a resource hub, so one place where people can go to our city site, and it's here, all the resources, they're all connected.
The city is using federal COVID relief dollars and a donation from Jack Dorsey to fund the Guaranteed Basic Income program. It expires in the summer of 2025. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Three Metro East police agencies rank in the top 10 Illinois departments for having hired the most officers who've been fired from other jobs. That's according to state data from 2000 through 2021, compiled by the nonprofit news organization Illinois Answers Project. The small towns of Brooklyn and Washington Park hired more than 40 officers since the start of the century who were dismissed from other departments. That's about 10% of their workforce. The other Metro East department named in the data is Allerton, which no longer exists. The St. Clair County Village and its police combined with Centerville and Cahokia to form Cahokia Heights in 2021. Allerton had hired about 25 officers in those 20 years who had been fired elsewhere. More than a dozen musicians will perform Sunday in a concert celebrating ethnic and cultural diversity. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, producing organization Immigrant Song aims to bridge divides through music.
The Mother's Day event in Maplewood at the Focal Point is called the Gratitude Concert. It'll feature music and spoken word poetry.
Bring me serenity.
A new French, a musician and pediatrician who moved to the U.S. from India nearly 30 years ago, is among the performers.
When we get up there and sing together as a group of people from different backgrounds, it just reinforces that the America that I want to live in and choose to live in, where we all come together.
French spoke Thursday on St. Louis on the Air. Sunday's gathering is the first of three concerts Immigrant Song has planned for coming months. Next up in July is an event called Composers for Justice. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
When the pandemic hit in the spring of 2020, a lot of life was put on hold, even those once-in-a-lifetime moments like high school graduation. 4 years later, many members of that senior's class are finally experiencing a traditional commencement ceremony, graduating college. Like Lily Sighs. In the last days of her Mizzou career, she's feeling nostalgic and excited, but not nervous. Well, not anymore, now that her graduation dress has arrived.
It took 3 weeks to come in, so that was a little nerve-wracking. But I have it. I'm ready. I'm going to steam it. I'm good to go.
But those nerves were nothing compared to the lead-up to her last graduation in the spring of 2020. Then she was a senior at Marquette High School in Chesterfield, at least in title. In those final few weeks, she says it didn't feel like much of a senior year.
It was kind of just every day that COVID was going on, I was thinking to myself, oh, this day would have been prom, or this day would have been like senior Olympics at my high school. And it was just this major feeling of missing out.
For students who graduated high school in the spring of 2020, in the early days of the pandemic, the milestones of those final days of school didn't happen the way they expected. In some cases, the last club meetings and cafeteria lunches and high fives with favorite teachers happened without anyone realizing it would be the last. Some events were replaced with virtual approximations, others just never happened at all. Carson McDaniel is now a graduating senior at Webster University. He recalls spring break of his senior year at Lindbergh High School in South St. Louis County and a message the school sent out asking the students how comfortable they felt learning from home.
And that's kind of when I knew, I was like, okay, I think we're going to have to go online.
From there, a familiar story for anyone who was a student or parent of a student at that time. What was supposed to be a couple of weeks of online learning became the rest of the school year and then some. And when McDaniel's graduation was finally scheduled for the middle of that summer, it was a drive-in event.
I definitely am like, oh yeah, my high school graduation was like in a mall parking lot.
Starting college in the fall of 2020 meant club meetings and dorm orientation went online. So did a lot of classes. Masks on, distance kept. Size says she met most of her friends from her dorm room.
There weren't big events for freshmen to go to. We did get sorority rush, but that was on Zoom.
Eventually, new normals started to look more familiar. A few weeks ago, Size and her sorority sisters finally threw themselves a prom, long gowns and everything.
So I think it's going to be a really good memory to look back on and be like, I did get a prom, but even though it's not a high school prom, it's okay.
The class of 2024 is used to pivoting, to adjusting plans and doing things a little differently. McDaniel says he will bring that resilience with him to the real world. But looking forward to graduation this weekend, he says it'll be nice to have things a little closer to how he'd always pictured.
The people that are there to support me will like actually like not be behind like a wall, like a wall of cars. Like they will be in the room with me and like I will hear them like cheer. I think that will be kind of the Kodak moment, I guess.
It's the end of a strange but special journey, one that Size says might have started differently than expected, but ended up exactly where it should be.
We're here. Everyone's in a good mood. It's like everything finally worked out. Like, we kind of had this rough go with COVID, and, like, we finally got what we deserved, I honestly think.
And as her friends prepare to scatter away from campus and each other, she says she's not nervous about that either. After all, these are friendships that began with social distancing. St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan Aul edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a great weekend, and congratulations to all the graduates out there, and happy Mother's Day.